Well, good afternoon. It's Friday, May 5th on Discovering Victory Podcast.
Cinco
hey, you know,
de Mayo.
I keep forgetting to bring this up.
What's that?
Like, you had recently had surgery.
I did, yes.
And you seem to be doing well.
Do I look
well.
Okay?
Yeah, like you had, what did you have done?
I had septoplasty.
What the heck is that?
Septoplasty.
Okay.
So they straightened out my septum.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a rotor.
So it was deviated.
It
right?
was deviated, yes.
Okay.
Now it's undeviated. Now it's just viated.
Well, and we'll probably get in trouble for this, but
okay.
you wrote a new song to go along with this.
I did.
Do you remember what it was? My nose is alive.
My nose is alive
with the sound of mucus.
Thank you. Bill helped. He co-wrote that song.
I'm sure we'll hear from Ann Louise.
But it's better now.
It is. Or
so
Floss Kephas might yell us
okay.
for that, but that's okay. We're sorry, Floss.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go back to last summer. Dave Edwards was one of our Bible teachers.
Yes.
Always a great time with Dave. This is part two of his Tuesday evening message during summer 2023.
Awesome.
Let's give a watch.
How does the love of God change us? It takes us out of our old patterns. It tests our spiritual progress. And then number three, the third thing that it does is that it tenderizes us to practice the grace of God. It tenderizes us to practice the grace of God. Well, this is what he's talking about. So look at verse 17. If then you regard me as a partner, accept Onesimus as you would me. All right, now, if Paul showed up to your camper, how would you treat him? Paul the apostle, the guy who wrote Romans? Right, so Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to treat him as though I were standing in front of you. Now look what he says, look at verse 18. But if he's wronged you, I have if circled in my Bible. If, of course he has wronged him. He stole it, he ripped him off. Right? If he's wronged you in any way or owes you anything. Now look at this phrase. If I don't know if you mark in your Bible or not, but you probably should underline this. Charge that to my account. Charge that to my account. Now look what he says. Now watch this. Look at this. Ready? They come out of verse 18. Look at verse 19. Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Now look at this. This is so, I love this, right? Because you know Paul has a sense of humor. Look at it. Not to mention that you owe me even more your own self as well. This is beautiful, right? It's a little jab, right? He's like, hey, I know Onesimus ripped you off, but don't forget, Philemon, you owe me way more. I led you to the Lord. I discipled you. You wouldn't know Christ if it weren't for me. Don't forget, your debt's greater. So charge it to my account. This little phrase, charge it to my account, is the summary of how God treats us through Jesus. We had a debt we couldn't pay. Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe. He stepped into our life and took on the sin that separated us, that created a chasm between us and God. And Jesus stepped in between it and said, charge it to my account. Put it on my tab. When we talk about the cross, we're talking about Jesus paying for a debt we could never pay off. So Paul says to Philemon, your debt's greater. Don't forget it. Someone owes you something, that's right. But don't forget, your debt to God is greater. So, because your debt's been canceled by the Son of God, then live like that towards other people. That's what he said. Charge it to my account, but Philemon, don't forget, your debt's bigger. And Christ paid it for you, so now you've got to live it out. See how powerful this is? You know what he's doing? He's trying to tenderize Philemon's heart to stop thinking like an owner, stop thinking like a boss, stop thinking like someone who's been wronged, and to think in terms of the debt that's been canceled for him. He's saying, I want you to put it into practice. It's funny how we live in a culture that everybody wants the payoff. Nobody wants to practice. Everybody wants to make the money, but no one wants to practice. Everybody wants to win a trophy, but nobody wants to practice. Everybody wants to be a star, but nobody wants to practice. And so Paul says, Philemon, I want you to practice the grace that's been given you. The same way that Jesus put your debt on his account. When Onesimus shows up, that's what I want you to do. He's tenderizing his heart to practice the grace of God. Think of it. Think of what Christ did, that he took on your debt that you could never pay. And then when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we are declared to be free and accepted. Think about that. That we're declared to be free and accepted by God the Father fully, freely, and finally. That we become sons and daughters of God. Totally accepted. Fully forgiven. Think of it. Forgiven and accepted. And Paul says, Philemon, that's what God did for you. He forgave you and accepted you. I know we all got our stories. I get it. I got my stories. I know we all got our stories of Onesimus that have left a hole in our life. They created a gap. They created a debt. And something we may never get back and never be repaid. I get it. I understand that. I know if we had open mic night, we could let you get up here and go, here's why I hate this person, and here's why I don't want to forgive them. We would all take your side. We would go, you're right. Let's all get in our campers, drive to their house, and TP their yard and fork their lawn. We would do it on your behalf. We would take your side. We would do it. But he's saying, don't forget that Jesus fully forgave you and accepted you fully, freely, and finally. You see it? This has always been the church's role. In every cultural shift, in every societal woe and war that we face, the church has always held up the message of Jesus and offered reconciliation. The church always has overcome problems and pandemics and trouble by holding up the redemptive, reconciling message of Jesus and saying, all who come, as they come to Christ, can be forgiven and be accepted and be received. This has always been the church's message. This has always been our single strategy, was just to hold up Jesus and invite people to know him. You see it? And the other reason why this is important, why it matters to Paul, what Philemon does with Onesimus, 1,500 miles away. Let me tell you why it matters. Because in discipleship, if you can see it, you can be it. In discipleship, if you can see what it looks like, you can be it. If you ever see someone demonstrate the grace of God towards you, it's easier to do it yourself. If we can see it, we can be it. If we can see what it's like to be loved unconditionally and see what it's like to be forgiven and see what it's like to be accepted the way God has accepted us through Christ, then it's easier to be those things to somebody. In discipleship, if you can see it, you can be it. That's how it works. So Paul is trying to tenderize Philemon's heart to not just know this stuff, but to be it. See, in the story, Paul is acting in many ways in the role of Christ. He's making all the arrangements. So you have two brothers. You got two people that are both believers. Onesimus is a believer. Philemon is a believer. Right? And just so you know, I'm not talking about if you're in an abusive situation, about you going back and putting yourself in harm's way. That's another sermon. This is two Christian brothers working it out. Onesimus has been radically saved. But Philemon didn't know it. Philemon loves the Lord, but has been covered up in all these cultural norms. And Paul is trying to get these guys together, because as they do, then the presence of Jesus becomes obvious. And what Paul is doing is, like Jesus, he's making all the arrangements for reconciliation to happen. So Paul is playing this role of Christ by saying, put it on my account. It's interesting that Paul doesn't ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus. He asks him to receive it, because the forgiveness is established by Jesus and not us. We struggle because we think, I got to try to forgive this person and they're terrible. People always say, I forgive, but I won't forget. Listen, the forgiveness is extended through Christ. He says to Philemon, I just want you to receive him in the grace that has been given you. I'll make sure the forgiveness is paid for. I'll make sure the forgiveness is arranged. Jesus has made the arrangement. so that forgiveness is possible. He just asks us to live out of that forgiveness. See how practical this is? What a powerful thing. And it teaches us. Finally, number four. The fourth thing that it does, if you're taking notes, let's recap. It takes us out of our old patterns. It tests our spiritual progress. It tenderizes us to practice the grace of God. And then number four, it teaches us that people can change. It teaches us that people can change. So Onesimus makes this 1,500-mile journey with one of Paul's associates, a guy named Tychicus, and they make their way into Colossae. Colossae was a small city. It used to be a big city, but it had grown smaller because the other cities around it were cooler and people had moved away. So when Onesimus walks into town, people are like, "That's Onesimus. That's the runaway slave. He came back." And he feels the eyes of the people of the town look at him. No one says anything directly, but you know how you can feel judgment out of people's eyes sometimes, how they judge you for what you've been or where you've come from? Onesimus makes his way down the city street of Colossae and up to Philemon's house. Philemon is sitting on the porch in the middle of the day, and he sees these two figures coming down the street, and he says, "That looks like Onesimus, but that can't be. There's no way he would ever come back here. That's not possible. He wouldn't come back here." And as the two figures get closer, he sees that it is Onesimus, and Onesimus pushes open the courtyard gate, and he walks down the sidewalk of Philemon's house and up to the porch. Philemon bangs on the screen door of his house and says to Mrs. Philemon, "You probably should come out here." And she comes out and says, "Onesimus, you took all my jewelry. What did you do with all of it? Where is all that?" Without a word, Onesimus hands that letter to Philemon. Philemon says, "Let me see this. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand." And listen to what Paul says about Onesimus. "I appeal to you," verse 10, "for my child Onesimus, whom I've begotten in prison." In other words, he got saved while he was in prison. Usually salvation happens when we're at our darkest moment, when we're in a lockdown, when we've been caught, when we've gone all the way to the bottom and broken through the foundation. You think you can't go any lower, and you get as low as you can, and at that point is where salvation happens. Onesimus had found Jesus in prison. Look at this. "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, for I've gotten in prison." Now look at verse 11. "Who formerly was useless to you." Now Onesimus' name meant useful. That's literally what it's translated. Look what he says. So he's using this little pun, right? "Who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and me." In other words, Paul says to Philemon, Onesimus was radically saved, and now he's living up to his name. He's now really is useful. Before, maybe he was a deadbeat, he was a thief, and he was a runaway. But since he met Christ, he's become useful. Now he's living up to the destiny that God created him to live. Can you feel how God pulls us up out of the pit? Can you feel it, how he pulls us up out of our old ways of how we used to see ourselves and how other people have seen us, and pulls us up out of that? He says, "I have a whole new destiny for you." Look what he says, "who formerly was useless, but now useful." Now look at verse 16. "No longer a slave." No longer a slave, but more than a slave. "A beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Paul says to Philemon, "He's your brother." Philemon, you're a Christian. He's a believer. Now he's your brother. And this is so brilliant, because if Philemon receives Onesimus as his brother, he can't be a slave. If Philemon receives Onesimus as his brother in the Lord, Philemon can't own him. Paul, in a single stroke of a pen, with 25 verses in his little letter, sets into process the thing that will undermine the system of slavery in Rome as we know it. Because it teaches us that people can change. People can change. Onesimus was a runaway, and now he's repentant. Onesimus was a thief, and now he's become a disciple. People can change. This is the message of the New Testament. is that people from all the outskirts and all the peripheries of life, when they met Jesus, became different. But here's the tension of this, ready? The salvation of Onesimus is going to affect Philemon. We have to let the change that happens in the lives of others affect us. The salvation of Onesimus now meant that Philemon had to receive him on that basis. And so Paul says, I want you to receive him as a brother. You can't hold him hostage to the past. You can't hold him hostage to his mistakes. You can't hold him hostage to his greatest disappointment. You can't hold him hostage to the things that he used to be. He's not that anymore. He's no longer a slave, but more than a slave, he's a brother in Christ. Because people can change. This is the message. People can change. People can be different. And when someone says this, they've been changed, we have to receive them on that basis. Do you see it? This is the message of redemption in this little letter. And once again, why does this matter? What possible difference does it make with these two guys? Paul can't get there. He's written this letter. Why would he take an interest? Well, let me tell you why. Because when these two guys reconcile, Onesimus has repented, Philemon has received him, they've reconciled and received each other as brothers in the Lord, everybody in the city of Colossae would see it. And when we reenact the gospel in our marriage and in our family and in our church, the people around us see it. That's the power of that Paul was going to change this whole system through a little house church. Paul was going to change this system through two guys working it out. Because it demonstrates the gospel. It demonstrates the freeing message of Jesus. And then people from the outside will say, wait a minute. You went through that in your marriage and you're still together? You went through all that with your husband and you didn't lose him? Wait a minute, you went through that in your church and you guys are still together as a church? It could only be Jesus that would work those things out. It could only be the power of the presence of Jesus that would work that. Wait a minute. You went through that in your past and now you're here and been redeemed? To all my redeemed brothers in the front row that are no longer a slave, but more than a slave, but brothers in Christ, no longer held hostage to your past. I had a friend of mine, my best friend in the world is a doctor in Oklahoma City. He struggled with prescription pills. He's been through many, 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 many treatments. And he knows I'm going to talk about this, so this is not, I'm not talking behind his back, all right? And even though he's not here. But he had to have surgery, he had to have dental work, and he said, they're gonna give me pills, and I'm gonna relapse. I know it. I said, I want you to bring me the bottle. Bring me the bottle. He brought me the bottle. I took my Sharpie and I wrote across the prescription, no longer a slave. And I said, I want you to set it on your counter and look at it every day. No longer a slave. No longer a slave. But more than a slave, a brother. An adopted son of Jesus who sits at the family table, fully forgiven and totally accepted. That's who you are. That's your identity. And I thank God that he didn't hold my sins against me. I thank God that he didn't count my trespasses against me. And by the way, the rest of the story of Onesimus, while all this is happening, he travels back to work it out with Philemon. Philemon sends him back to work with Paul. Onesimus spends a couple of years or maybe more working with Paul. While this is going on, Timothy is pastoring Ephesus and he's nearing retirement. Timothy finally steps down and the new pastor of the church of Ephesus was Onesimus. Onesimus becomes the bishop of the church of Ephesus, the largest church in the New Testament time, 80,000 people in that church. And a runaway slave is now the bishop of Ephesus. And you know why? Because people can change. How many people is that good news tonight? Can I have someone maybe just give the Lord a round of applause? Okay. I want to make sure you're still out there. I'm not just, sometimes I just preach to myself and enjoy it. And, right, so I've been, in addition to speaking, I'm also a disciple maker and I'm a pastor. And so I pastor in a lot of different contexts, you know. I disciple one-on-one in Houston. And there's a lot of guys I keep in touch with around the country. I pastor by text. And the other day, God brought a guy's name to my mind that I hadn't heard from in a while. So I just randomly texted him. I said, "Hey, bro, man, I'm just checking in on you. Where are you?" A couple days goes by. He sends me a text. He said, "Man, I left my wife." He said, I left, and now I'm living in the Cayman Islands. All right, living in the Cayman Islands. So my pastoral reply was, "Bro, if you're going to run from God, that's a good place to do it." And all right, that was literally what I texted. I'm not pastoral all the time. And so then he sent me this long thing about how angry he was at God and blaming God for this and blaming God for that. And it was just, I mean, it was all just really deeply misguided. And instead of going line by line, I texted him back and I said, "Bro, read Philemon." Because Philemon is about coming home. I just said, "Read Philemon." And I went on about my way. A week ago, 2 weeks ago Sunday, I was speaking in Dallas. I was on my way to go speak on a Sunday morning. And my phone lit up with a text. And it said, it was from this guy. And he said, "I'm coming home." He said, "I'm coming home to save my marriage and to win my wife back." You know why? Because people can change. And that ought to give everybody in this room great hope that we're not who we used to be. Because of Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection and his release of the Spirit, we're different people, forgiven, accepted, seated at the family table. And the message of Philemon is that with the love of God, people can change. I want to say to everyone in the house tonight who is an Onesimus, everyone who's on the run from their past, on the run from a relative, on the run from a relationship, on the run from a struggle, on the run from a fear, I want to say tonight, it's time for you to run home. It's time for you to come home. It's time for you to run right back into the arms of God. And I want to speak to all the Philemons in the house tonight, to everybody that's had somebody leave a gap in your life, that they took something from you. They took something mentally. They took something emotionally. They took something financially. They left a debt in your life somewhere, something that you were owed that you never got back, some parent that never gave you what you needed, some dad who never loved you, some mom who never did what she should have done, and they left a gap. They left a debt. I want to say to every Philemon, maybe you could let the grace of God just fall over you tonight. Maybe you could just say, "God, fall fresh on me. I may never get it back from those people. I may never hear an apology from that person. I may never get that what I'm owed emotionally. So God, would you fill in the gaps with your grace? Would you fill it in with your grace?" To all the runaways, this is your night to come home. To all the Philemons that are owed something, that tonight you'd say, "God, fill the gaps in my life with your grace. The things I won't get back, you got to make it up with your grace. Tenderize my heart to your ministry, to your work in my life." All right, let's pray. Let's pray. I wonder tonight if you could help me to know how to pray. How many people tonight would say, "I'm an Onesimus. I got something in my life I've been running from. I've kept it at bay for 30, 40, 50 years. I'd just as soon forget about it. But every time I glance in the rearview mirror of my life, I can see it over my shoulder. I can see what I've been running from. The ghost of it is still right behind me. If you say, "I'm a runaway, I'm still running, and I need to stop tonight, and I need to run back to God. And tonight you'd say, pray for me. I don't want you to stand up. I don't want you to raise your hands, or I'll never make these moments into a show, but if you'd say, pray for me, would you just lift your head and look right here at me if you'd say, I've been on the run. I've been on the run. I know it. I knew this is the word for tonight. I've been on the run. Yeah, I know it. I've been on the run. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I've been on the run. Yeah. I get it. Right where you sit tonight, to the runaways in the house, would you pray this prayer with me? Would you just say, dear Jesus, I'm a runaway. Just tell him. I'm a runaway. But tonight I repent. And I return to you. With the things I can't forget, the things that I've taken from others, I return to you. Forgive me. Just tell him to say, God, forgive me. To the Philemons in the house, how many people tonight would say, I'm a Philemon? I'm owed something by somebody. I got a debt. I got a gap. I got some old systems in my life that I need to be free of. I got some old things that have chained me down. If you'd say, pray for me tonight. Pray for me because I'm owed something. And I've kept that debt alive in my mind and in my heart. If you'd say, pray for me tonight, would you do the same thing and just look right here at me? I'm a Philemon. I got some unpaid, I got some debt in my life that someone took something from me. Yeah. Someone took my innocence. Someone took something of value from me. Someone took my trust. That's you. Just look right here at me and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Yeah, I know it. This is the moment for you to stop thinking and to start trusting. This is the moment where you just let the ministry of the Holy Spirit move right onto your row and into your chair. And to let the grace of God fill in the gaps. Let the grace of God fill the gaps in. Would you pray this with me? Would you say, dear Jesus, I got a debt. Something that I'm owed. And I turn away from my old system of revenge, my old system of greed. I turn away from my old system of needing to be repaid and get something back. I turn away from my old system of revenge and vengeance. Just tell him, I turn away from it. Now pray this with me. And tonight, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. See, if you can't feel the presence of the Spirit, fill that wound in. To fill that wound in, that wounded spirit, that wounded memory, See if you can't sense the grace of God easing that memory, healing that wound, filling in that gap. God, heal us tonight. Free us from the past. Heal people right in their rows, right in the seats, right where they are tonight. Meet them right where they are with your grace and your kingdom. Fall fresh on us tonight. Fall fresh on us tonight. We love you, Jesus. I thank you for the simple letter of Philemon, and I pray that we would never get over your love letter. That we'd never get over the way you loved us, and that you'd help us to love the people in our life who need it the most. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, so what's happening?
Okay, let me take a deep breath. We have a lot planned for May. We really do. It's a very special month. Moving into the summer, first thing that's next up is Spring Ladies Day.
Okay.
On May 10th, Jeff and Sue Duffield will be here sharing worship. Susie Larson will be here sharing the word. So this is like the day of girl talk, but for the entire day.
Wow.
They can stay the evening, right? They can stay the evening.
Yeah.
So if you want more details about Spring Ladies Day, visit our website, americaskeswick.org. You can call us at 800-453-7942 if you want to look into taking advantage of that day.
Yeah, they can actually stay Tuesday night.
Right.
And then participate in the girl talk, have dinner with us on Wednesday night, and go to TNT.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Or they can stay Wednesday night and, you know, check out on Thursday.
On Thursday. That's great. Men's Fellowship Night is that next Thursday, May 11th. Mark Colchin will be here sharing from his ministry, sharing the word. Our Family Freedom Walk is on Saturday, May 13th, which takes place right in the middle of our addiction recovery reunion weekend. So please be praying for that. The graduates will be coming and sharing a weekend together. You can come on out if you're not a graduate. You can come on out for the walk from 3 o'clock to 6:30 on May 13th. We are looking to raise $175,000 for the Addiction Recovery Ministries of the Colony of Mercy and Barbara's Place. My life has been changed by every dollar that's come in. My life was changed because of that. Finding salvation in Jesus, finding removal from addiction to the drugs I was using, and just using the world to try to fill voids. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's not too late, not too early for you to register for Memorial Day weekend, though it might be too late to get a good room.
Yeah.
Call 1-800-453-7942. Dr. Robert Morgan is going to be sharing the Word of God. We're going to have a lot of great activities planned. Great music with Sue and Jeff Duffield and Joyce Ciotta. The choir concert. So check it out, 1-800-453-7942. Or call or visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org. Have a great afternoon. Join us on Monday for worship live at 1:30. God bless.